The Dursingham Millennium History Project on the 22nd of September 1998. Can I have your full name, please?
Arthur Eric Richards.
And which is your name that people know you as?
Eric.
Eric. And when did you first come to Dursingham?
I was born here.
Right, so had your parents lived here all their lives?
Parents had, and my grandparents had.
So you've been a local family for a long while. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Do other members of your family live in the village?
My son, that's all, at the moment.
That's Colin.
Colin.
Now, can you tell me all about your earliest memories, as going back as far as you can?
My first memories, I suppose, are going to school. No, I'm going to school now. Probably in here as Emma Wofford.
No, no problem.
Yes, going to school across the pastures, violently full of snow and terrible situation, walking. And
Whereabouts did you used to live then?
Centre Barrow, born in number 7 in Centre Barrow, which is now 14.
Which was basically all there was then, wasn't there? Just
yes,
that one road.
Centre Barrow, yeah.
Yes. And so the school was where?
Where the youth club is now, near the Coach North.
So that was really always the school. What,
yeah.
Mr. Shaw's school?
Yeah, before him, this was Mr. Wheeler.
Right, so you used to walk all across, did it snow a lot?
No, but the thing you remember mainly is the bad times, don't you?
Of course.
When you get knee-deep in snow and things like that.
Yes. And what can you remember about school?
School was very good.
In what way?
The main thing I've written, I think, is seeing the R101 come over.
Right, now tell
the
us
airship.
About
one day, one of the big boys came to the door and asked the teacher, Miss Polly Hudson, to bring the class out to see this airship. And the R101 was going over.
Now, what sort of time was this? What year? Can you remember around?
Yeah, that'd be about 68 years ago.
Right.
When would that be?
A lot. Was this the First World War?
No, the after the war.
After the war,
yeah.
Right.
25, you see, so that'd be 30.
Yes. And where had this come from?
Well, there was a big thing in the paper about it, I can't remember where it came from, that came across, I think eventually that was burned, didn't it? The 101 burned against a mooring post or something eventually.
So
it came across country from down Kentway, I think, somewhere like that.
It must look very huge to
yeah,
you.
It's really.
Because you weren't used to the aircraft, were you, in those days?
No, we hadn't seen many aeroplanes in them days.
No. No. That was something you can always remember.
That's one of the things I can remember, actually.
Did you have to write about it afterwards?
No, because I think we was in the baby class, so we didn't do a lot of writing. We just started school, 5-year-old.
Yes. And what sort of lessons did you mainly do?
After we got out there, I think, well, she was fairly good, Miss Hudson. She was a little lady, and people used to take a mickey, but she was very good for the young ones. She used to do, I think, mainly the things they do now, only in a different way.
Yes, it was much more formal, wasn't it?
Yeah, different.
Yes. And you say that the older boys would play her up.
No, they weren't too bad. When they got a bit further, they were a bit older classes, Miss Boyce and who were them. When they get in the bigger classes, then they did. Or we did.
Yes. Now, obviously you had a sort of gang of friends.
Yeah.
What did you used to do at the weekends and in the holidays and so on?
We used to spend most of the time on the pastures, us from Centre Vale. It's one of the things one of the places we used to go. In the winter, we used to block the dike up and go skating on the dikes.
The dikes across the...
On the pastures.
Right, because the dikes really don't exist now, do they?
Oh yeah, that's on there, yeah. The ditches. And in the summer we used to block them up and sort of get in our underpants and pack.
So they were as deep as that?
Oh yeah, that was nearly full up in them days. Well, we used to block them up the mountain deep.
Right, so you had your skating and your swimming?
Yeah. We very seldom went to the beach, but occasionally we went with the chap who used to take us on the horse and cart down the station. And
what, to swim?
Well, for the day out. Our treat was to go on stand.
Once a year?
Mm-hmm.
So I expect you used to get excited about that.
Did.
And you say you went on a horse and cart?
Yeah, we did horse and cart down the station. There was a charabang turn on stand.
Right. Going back to the pastures, was it very marshy then?
No, not if you remember. That was much as it is now. That was well, the cattle used to use a lot. Well used then. More than it is now, it's just sheep now, but then there's the cattle and horses and everything used to be on there.
And was the church hall there then?
Church hall, yeah, that was, we used to call it the Institute.
The Institute?
That's before the church took it over, really.
So, had it been there as long as you can remember?
Oh, yeah.
And what was it used as?
Well, I didn't remember, not till I got older. I know I used to go across there with Mrs. Lines and help her clean up and things like that. And Mr. Lines used to do the gas fires until he couldn't, because he was gassed in the First World War, and he, you know, eventually got, he couldn't hardly walk.
So they heated the church hall with gas?
Yeah, that's carbide gas in the big cylinders outside at the back.
Does it? Is it still heated like that now?
No, I think that's electricity.
Oh, yes. So you used to play on the pastures. What sort of games?
All kinds. Cricket, football, climbing up the trees. Mainly climbing trees and things like that.
Now, where would the trees be? Because they must have all gone now, surely.
There were some big ones down between the old hall. Yeah. There's the site, the house site, there's a big one there. And some hawthorn, big hawthorns. Most of them are still there, the hawthorn. We used to have one of them, we used to sit up there, and about a dozen of us used to climb up, and it used to be like the seats all the way around, where they'd bend their boughs down and sit on them.
And the pastures was actually owned by who?
Owned by the estate, but the farm was standing.
And he never made you?
Oh no, that was...
It was the accepted?
It was probably right away across there, and nobody said anything about us being on there. Really.
Did you ever actually get down to the Dursingham beach?
Yes, we used to go down there quite regularly.
What, walking?
Walking on bikes.
Was it still as marshy and muddy as it is now? Or was there more of a beach then?
There was a reasonable beach then, because there was no concrete road. There was used to be the banks, and you used to walk on top of the banks all the way down. The banks were, you know, they used to split it up in areas if it got flooded that couldn't go further and so forth.
Right, yes.
And they used to farm horses and things like that.
Yes, and you used to walk down on the banks.
You used to walk on top of these banks. There used to be a footpath on top of them. Yes. What's he doing? And there was a footpath on top, and you used to walk down there or boat down and go fishing or playing on the narrow gauge railway to the shingle. They used to have shingle barges come in at Dursingham.
Shingle barges?
Yeah. Big, I suppose, about 500 tonnes.
Oh, for what?
Take loads of shingle away from the shingle pits.
Right.
And
take them to where?
I don't know.
Presume possibly into King's Lynn.
Pardon?
Into King's Lynn, do you reckon?
I should think they took them further than that, wherever they needed shingle and
right.
The building ourselves.
And was that funny sort of nature reserve pond still down there?
Yeah, well, that is the shingle pit, that nature reserve. They were shingle pits, they're man-made, but they took the shingle out.
Oh, I see. So that Right, so the ponds that are there now were where they were the shingle was excavated.
Yeah.
Right. Now, did you belong to any children's clubs or organisations when you were little?
Well, we used to go to chapel twice a day on Sundays. And on Tuesdays, we used to Band of Hope. And on Thursdays, that was Christian Endeavour. So that was...
Gosh!
Four times we was at the chapel.
Now, you're talking about the Methodist chapel.
The Methodist chapel on Chapel Road, not the Wesleyan on Brooks Oxford.
Right. And they were all these different things were run by the same chapel?
Yeah, yes, all the same people.
And you didn't object to the fact that you were going to church sort of like four times a week?
Not really, no. That was a thing we did and that was it.
And all the children went?
Lots of them went there and I suppose a lot of them went to church, but we didn't get mixed up in the church again, in the chapel.
So there was a little bit of...
A little bit, yeah.
Right. And when you went to all these different religious meetings, what did you used to do?
The Band of Hope was against drinking. And that was an anti-drink, and they used to impress you about drinking and things like that. Singing hymns and playing games. The same as the Christian Endeavour, which was on the Thursday night.
So in what way was Christian Endeavour was the same but with a different title?
Well, that's sort of more like the Christian groups now they have, don't they? Yeah. And it's just the normal things they do on churches, and I think they have them sort of things on Sunday mornings now for school, church.
So you grew up being strongly told that the evils of drink?
Yes, very much.
Do you think the message remained? When you think of all the adults now who went, do you think when they got older they said, oh, that was silly?
I think that made you more weary. I think, well, I've had a pint or two. I think that made you more weary.
Yes. Yeah. So most of your clubs and things were to do with church, with chapel. Any
other? So I joined the Scouts, which was... when I was about 12, 13.
Right. Now, since you, for many years, were the scout leader, yes?
I went from assistant to group scout leader.
Right. So, could you tell us now everything you can remember about when you started and then how things developed from there? You started, you say, at the age of 13.
Yeah, they used to hold it at the... was the bakehouse, Mr. I can't remember his name.
Now, where's the bakehouse?
Well, that's opposite, that's where the Chinese is now. It got burnt down a few years ago, didn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
The old bake office.
Yeah. Oh, so that was then called the bakehouse?
That was a baker's. We had three bakers in the village that day, didn't we? It was Fitz Jarvis, is the one I'm thinking about. Jarvis and Playfitz.
So all the bread and cakes were made in the village?
Yeah. Mr. Fisher bought the Jarvis' old place and he let us have scouts in there. Or some people. Snetchen came. They were scout leaders in Snetchen when they started helping at Dursingham.
Now, when would this be? Very early on? You're talking what? The 19 what? When the scouts started?
1937.
So up till then there hadn't been a scout?
Yeah, I believe Cliff Richards started as well, scouts before then.
Right.
He couldn't have been that old when he started, because he was about 80 some odd now, so he would probably start at... And his brother Claude sort of took over, he was the helper and man from his nation.
Right, and about how many local boys would belong?
I think we had two patrols, about 16, something like that. Quite good. We had a skate band. We just had a skate band when the war came and everybody had to go to war.
Oh.
And so they had to do it. I just bought two trumpets and we had a set of drums. And
so you must have been
when
disappointed.
They came back, I asked for them when I started scouts. I asked for them and they had all disappeared.
And nobody knew where they were.
Nobody knew where they were. I know where they left, but nobody knew where they were.
Now, besides having a band, what sort of activities did the scouts used to do then?
Well, we used to spend a lot of time on the common, which was tracking and, you know, attacking and all sorts of things scouts do. And we used to go down to Snatcham. They had the Jimmy's Field down at Snatcham Scouts, which was left to them by a parent of Jimmy. Lad, who died early. We used to walk down there on Friday nights with the handcart, Mr. Chambers' handcart loaded with gear, and spend the weekend down there. And
what, camping?
Walk again on, yeah, on, come back again on the Sunday.
And obviously, parents had much more freedom then with their children, didn't they?
Yeah, didn't worry about children then. They got you have to in there, did they?
No, no. And would there always be an adult in charge of you?
Yeah, there was always these leaders in charge. I didn't make on you, even in those.
Yes. In what way was it very different then, do you think, the kind of activities to what they do in Scouts now?
Well, when we started Scouts, we was more or less the same. Hiking and tracking and knots and lashings. And it didn't change much all the while, didn't it? I think that's changed quite a lot now. They do.
What different things do they do now?
I don't know, but I think that's changed quite a lot. I mean, I think they do the old basic things we used to do, putting arrows on the wood in the grounds in the woods, or push sticks together and things like that, in campfires. You're not allowed to do it now, are you? Not allowed, to light campfires, and not allowed to get special permission and all that.
What, because of the dangers of...
Yeah, we used to do it on all fields and things like that, yeah, not in dangerous places.
No, no. So that there's much more, sort of, people feel there's much more danger awareness now.
Yeah, I think they are, yeah. They have to be.
So when did you... You stayed as a scout yourself until what age?
Until I was 16 and I had to join the Home Guard then.
Oh! Tell us a bit about that.
Pardon?
Tell us a bit about that.
Home Guard?
Yes.
Oh, well, when I don't think you was allowed to join till you were 17, then, but I joined at 16, and that's similar to the military. You learn rifle and shooting and all things like that. You used to go on the Fen. They used to have a rifle range on the Fen, shoot. We used to shoot down there. The chalk pit was open then, and they used to have things they call Northfield projectors, which were basic drain pipes with used to fire bottles of petrol. And you used to have to fire them at the wall to try and knock out the tanks and things like that.
So you were practicing for becoming soldiers?
Well, to look after the country. The Home Guard was supposed to look after the country while the case of Germans invaded.
Right. And where was this held at? What was the base?
Mainly Coach and Horses.
Well, even though it was a pub.
Well, it was a drill hall that used to be occupied by the military then. It's on the hill.
On the hill.
So what was the fire station? There's a drill hall.
Ah, right.
We used to be there as well.
And you'd learn to shoot?
Yeah, we'd learn to use the rifle and all necessary.
A bit like Dad's army.
Yeah, that was Dad's army. Yeah.
What is the drill hall used for now, do you know?
Mainly cadets, army cadets.
Oh, so there is still a cadet force.
Yeah, there's still army cadets used about, don't they? Nothing like it was.
Right, so you joined the Dad's army, and at what stage did you then become a captain or leader for the scouts?
Oh, I didn't probably come back from the army quite a long while afterwards.
So, you were away for how long?
I went in at 18 and came back at 21. 22.
And where were you based?
I went to Norwich first. Training camps. Then I went to Wickham, Poland. And from Dover we went to Italy. Then I was captured, prisoner of war, for 12 months and then came home. 1945.
So you were captured at the end of the war, presumably, that last year?
Yes, last year, 1944.
So yeah. I think afterwards you felt very lucky.
I was very lucky, yeah.
Yes, that you were.
Two of our people got killed. So we were very lucky.
And did a lot of the other village boys who'd been away come back at the same time?
A lot of them didn't come back, I'm afraid, but they did, yeah. A lot of my mates came back. Freddie Parry, Percy Cross, Reggie Fitt. A lot of them came back and we sort of joined up again as gang. And
yes, and then
not
you...
Not so wild as we were before.
No, you learned by experience. And is that when they asked you to take over the scout group?
No, I didn't start the scouts until I was married in 1951. That'd be 1953.
Yes,
So
actually, I think Stuart would be Ken. And he was born 1963. Mr. Lilly from Snatcham used to run scouts there, and we hadn't got a cub pack here, so he started to think, take our boys to Snatcham.
Right.
And he said, well, we ought to do it at Dursingham. So then Mr. Rhodes came in. And he started the scout then, and I went as assistant scout leader with him.
Right. And your lad was then in them yourself?
And he was then a scout then. He was a cub four. And we got, well, it must have been 20 or 30 boys. We started off at the old hall.
Yeah.
We had several venues after that, the Institute, the Forrester's Hall, the Drew Hall. Eventually we collected the money and ran, make our own.
Yes, because it was a bit hard, wasn't it, having to keep going to other venues.
Yeah, when they didn't want us, they moved us out.
Yes. So we were always looking for somewhere else.
Somewhere permanent, yeah.
And it must have been a problem not having anywhere to keep your own stuff.
Yeah, you couldn't have a lot of stuff then, could you? Because you had a store. No, although we did at the old hall, because we had a big shed out there until they changed everything. And that's when we first started collecting paper around the old hall.
Right.
We used to collect lorry loads of it, keep it in the big shed.
So, you decided that you needed your own hall.
Yeah, I did. I used to spend a lot of time, my wife would tell you, chasing around people to collect the money to do it.
Now, in what different ways was the money collected?
Baits and dances and all the general things, raffles and donations and things like that.
Where would the dances have been held?
Church hall.
So it was considered large enough for a dance?
Church hall, we had dancers in the church hall. The Dunkish years, before the war, they had charged to dance at the church hall and the drill hall.
Right. So eventually, how much in the end did you have to raise?
A terrific amount of £5,000.
£5,000?
To build it, yeah.
To the whole
thing?
You had
to raise that for the roof, didn't you?
Yes, we had to raise £11,000. Was it 11, did you?
I don't think it was 11, was it?
Seven.
Seven, yeah.
7,000 just to pay for the roof. And we're having to find nearly two for the windows. Yes, so it puts things in perspective.
Mr. Nobes, who was on one or two of those pictures, he was a builder. And yes. He's the one who helped me and got it going, and we did a lot of the brickwork ourselves.
Now, who did the land belong to? Did it belong to
Sandringham Estate? We had to get permission from Sandringham Estate.
And the Queen said?
The Queen, yeah. Well, the estate agent did. But we had to get planning permission, and they wouldn't give us permission because it didn't match with the back of the feathers. We was going to have a prefab, and they wouldn't allow that because it wouldn't match the back of the feathers, and which was an old broken down barn, if you remember.
Yes. So you had to have...
So we had to have a brickbuilt one with a
proper,
reasonable roof.
Yes, but in you're probably really...
Oh, it pleased, yeah, yes. Because in the end that... You'd have had to change it by now, wouldn't you? It's only 7th or 8th, wouldn't it? Well, yeah. You'd have had to change it by
now. I expect you can remember the official opening day.
Can indeed.
Tell us about that.
I paid Mr. Rhodes to come from... Wait a minute. Yorkshire way somewhere. To open it. And eventually I found that lad put my name on the stone. Remember it was stone.
Right, so you're honoured in the village.
I had the job of opening it, and I was very pleased.
Yes, but you'd done a lot of the raising of the money, hadn't you, yet?
It all worked out, all of the money. All worked out.
Did anybody sort of very important come? Not from the royals or anything like that?
No.
No, I suppose they were probably busy doing something else.
Probably didn't ask.
Now, in what way did having your own hall make a difference?
Well, in every way. You could leave things where you found them, and, you know, everything was much easier. You didn't have to go and book up anywhere. You didn't have to move with a different date. Like we did church hall, if they had something on that night, you'd have to move to another night, or... So that's, everything was fixed, you know, your scout night was a certain date, you kept a cub night, a scout guides night, you didn't have to change.
Had the guides been in existence before the hall, or did they start after the hall was built?
No, they used to have a place at Sandringham up in the woods near where the visit centre is now, and he used to have a hut up there.
But that's quite a way out from Dursingham, isn't it?
That was called the Sandringham Guides. They're Sandringham Guides, I think, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. So it made it difficult for people the other side of our village.
Yeah.
But after you got your own hall, things expanded.
They came in with us, yeah.
Of course, you're no longer to do with the Scouts, are you?
No, finished that one, I've done the 15 years.
But what do you think are the problems today with scout groups? I mean, are there more problems? Would you say people are not so interested?
I think people probably not. Probably they don't get the parent assistance we used to get.
Yeah, why is that, you think?
I don't know, the apathy on the part of parents and people nowadays, they don't, out of mind, I think, you know, nowadays. Although we had one case of that in the village, the parent used to give them forever and they go out for the night. And
yes, but do you think it's the pace of life today is different?
Probably, yeah. I hadn't really thought on it.
People didn't have all the leisure facilities, did they, that they have today?
No.
Right. Now, what was, I suppose I can guess the answer to this, what was the most important day that you spent in the village?
Married.
Yes, no. But apart from getting married.
I think when I came home from PW camp.
Oh, really? Yes.
Mm.
How did you feel?
I don't know, really. I was excited and I remember coming off the train, coming up Station Hill, going past the railway road, past the recreation ground, and Mrs. Houchin saw me. I used to run the buses and taxis, and she came round, picked me up and took me home, because she'd taken all the PWs home. She saw my white kit bag. They all had white kit bags, you see. And she took me home, and in the meantime, my home had changed from number 7 to 9.
While you'd been away?
Well, I'd been in the army, yeah.
You had moved?
To 9 Centre Bar. My parents had moved to 9 Centre Bar.
Right. Good, presumably bigger house?
It's better.
Right. Yes.
The other one was all... And anyway, that's a better house.
Yes.
Different layout inside as well.
Now, when you were released, who actually was responsible for releasing you from the prison for?
Well, when we'd known 2 days that the Americans were in Munich, we was in Munich at the time, and they came in and went out again. Backed out all the night. Next morning, they saw this one... American coming down the road, and there was just one American Ranger come down the road and opened the gate. And, well, the gate was open because all the guards had gone apart from one who stopped looking after us.
Right.
And then we were afraid.
And did somebody make arrangements to get you home?
Yeah, that was all arranged. We were there about 4 and a half afterwards. Waiting, and we had an officer came to tell us what the procedure would be, and we came, took us to Munich Airport on the lorries. We got the old decoders, we had to get off again and push out of the way, that one broke down.
And you flew from Munich
from Munich to Brussels.
Yeah.
And we went through the delouses and all that sort of thing, getting rid of the lice and a good feed. And then we got on the Lancaster bombers, and they brought us on and landed in Oxford. And I can't remember the name of the airdrome, but that was an RAF airdrome in Oxford, Oxfordshire.
And then you trained to Lynn, presumably?
And we had to stop there for days. And we got on the train and came home. 16 weeks leave, repatriation leave.
Yes, and had you in the meantime lost your job?
No, I worked on Sandringham Estate.
Yeah.
In the gardens. And they used to make the pay up from army pay to their pay, so mother was collecting the money while I was in the army.
Right, and obviously your family had to be looked after. Oh, because you weren't married then, so you were just a lad, basically. So you had a nice lot of money saved up.
Yeah, that was a little nowadays, wouldn't it? Yes. It wouldn't work about £100.
But in those days, it was a lot of money.
A lot of money in the
day. Right. So that was the day you remember the most. What would you say was the worst thing you can remember? I don't mean while you were a prisoner, but while you've been in the village.
No, one of the worst days is when I was a little boy. One of the family in the same in Centre Vale, one of the sons was killed. He came home from work and he had a motorbike, and he put his motorbike on his lorry when he left the site where he was working. There was 5 or 6 men on the lorry, and they were all standing up. And the lorry went round a corner, and the motorbike took him off and killed him.
Oh dear.
I've been about 9, I rushed down on the passes and closed my eyes out.
Yes. Because you knew who he was.
We was all
very
sure. All the family, really, down there.
Yes.
That's one of the worst days.
The wartime you've told us a bit about, because you would have been away. Floods? You remember anything about the floods?
I remember the floods in 1953, yeah.
How did they affect you, if at all?
Not a lot, really, because I was on the milk van and I didn't know that was flooded until I went down there with milk in the station. We knew that was bad because the people, we used to live at the old hall at the time, And Mr. Kirkland's daughter, she was at Snatcham Beach, and her husband and two boys. But they came up there, and they gave him a bed the night there, and they said how bad it was, but we didn't realise that it was like that. And the next morning, that was nearly up to the station, so...
Yeah, so it
we realised how bad it was.
Then. Yes, it was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How did it actually change the shape of... Because you were saying you used to go down when you were a little boy and play down there.
Mm-hmm.
How did it alter the beach, the Dursingham Beach?
I don't know if it did alter it. I know, I mean, that concrete road was put in during the war by the War Agriculture Committee.
Yeah. And was that sort of washed away?
A lot of it was washed away. Then the bottom end, it was washed up in the air. The 40-foot pieces of it standing up in the air. But I think they did eventually put that down. I'm not sure what happened to that. But that certainly altered it.
Because you don't hear of people going down to Dursingham Beach now, do you?
Yes, one or two. I've surprised me. It's people that took my neighbour. He'd often walk through... Well, he comes from Heacham Snatcham and walked right the way through to Wolfden and then home.
Gosh, that's a long walk.
Yeah, he has about 7 or 8 miles, I suppose.
He
was dropping in Heacham.
Yeah, and he follows the track all the way through?
Yeah, I think there's a real way through there. I'm not sure where it's been for long. We used to go Sanford down Wolfden, didn't we? Years ago, we collected the Sanford.
What, to eat?
To eat, yeah. Bag of Sanford.
Oh, not so popular now with all the other foods.
I think people buy it.
Now, what do you think are the biggest changes that you've seen in the village?
Population.
Yes.
Or you lot down there in that foreign country down Station Road.
Do you feel that that's a sort of different village?
Well, it's not a village now, is it?
No.
A few more shops and that'd be a town.
Yes, everybody feels the same about this.
It's not as it was. I mean, there's a few houses up here, centre town, a few what we call Toy's Alley opposite the Duncow. There was one there and they knocked them down and put council houses and there was only, I think it was 600 people at the start of the war or something like that.
So it was a real little village.
Very small village.
And now it's a great big sprawled.
Sprawling. Whatever you call it.
So what would you like to see happen to the village in the future?
Well, I wouldn't want to move, but I don't know what could happen to the village. I'd like them to have a nice village hall, but we haven't got any village hall, not any central area for the village.
Right. Now, this is, of course, the big millennium idea.
Yeah,
right?
But I mean, what I hear their ideas is taking a recreation ground. I wouldn't agree with that at all.
Right. Where would you put it?
That's the thing, a problem I couldn't solve.
Mr Malcolm Nurse, said it could go on the pastures to join up with the back end of the cricket field.
I think that would be a good idea. If they could buy the other piece.
Yeah.
Or buy the lot. And put it on there.
Make proper parking for there and the church hall.
Yeah.
Now, I've discussed this with nearly everybody. Why do you think it is probable that this will never happen?
I don't think I could raise the money for a start off.
You're talking a lot of money.
To build it even would be a lot of money.
Yeah. Why is it they could raise the money for the Scout Hall, but they can't raise the money for this?
Mm-hmm. You don't get money in it. You don't get lots and lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
You've got a big lottery grant.
Do you think that there's the necessary interest level in the village for one?
Well, I think the village is too fragmented. You know, the village is... You and me and them and us and all that sort of thing. And really and truly there's no group which is holding everything together. I mean, we was hoping that the club would do that. But
the club want to keep their own little hall.
They didn't do it, did they?
No, they want, at the meeting, they want to keep their own hall. So it's very difficult, isn't it? Because it isn't just buying it, is it? Somebody's got to run it.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of big halls around, because what would it be used for, really, if we already have plenty of other halls?
But there isn't a hall, is there?
Well, there's the church hall.
Well, the early and early church hall is very, very basic, isn't it? It's not even a good co-shed, really. Is it?
No.
That needs a lot of money spent on that to make it into something.
Yes. But nowhere near as much as buying another.
No. But I mean, there's church property and...
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that for that.
So you would like to see a hall?
I would definitely like to see a village... Well, everything for the village, like the parish council meetings, everything.
Yeah.
You know, even if you had to take the club, of parish could take the club away from them if they wanted, because that wasn't the parish.
Yes.
Not the club.
But it could cause a lot of bad feeling, couldn't it?
That caused a bad lot of bad feeling if they can't have one built just because of that, wouldn't it?
Now... You have already retired in the village.
I have retired.
And presumably you're going to be buried in the village.
Buried in the village or
yes.
somewhere.
What does the millennium mean to you?
I think that's overrated pastime myself.
You do?
A lot of people call millennium mad. So I don't think anybody know any difference in 2 years after than they did 2 years before.
Right.
What difference will it make?
But the fact that it's all this time since, well, really, it's to do with the church, isn't it?
I suppose so, yeah, but I can't see it's going to make a lot of difference. There's going to be a lot of millions of pounds spent.
Yeah, which on celebrating it. Yeah.
Could be spent more wisely. You could at least have a decent hall in the village.
Right, so you're saying if we're going to spend lots of money, let's spend it on that.
I think I'm in it.